Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. This is the seventh message in a series we've been doing on the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Try to say that fast. Today we're going to attempt to conclude this teaching on Ephesians. By no means have we exhausted the subject. If you're a shortwave radio listener and this is the first time you've heard the message, you can go to thegodschool.com and hear the entire series. In fact, you can access 14 years of the teaching of God's Word. If we don't finish this message in the allotted time on shortwave, again, you can go to thegodschool.com. Enough with advertising. Now, we have spent hours on this teaching from Ephesians. It starts out with Paul saying, Paul, an apostle, that is, a sent one. He didn't come of his own accord. He was sent of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This Ephesian letter is an elitist letter. It speaks to the church. It speaks to the faithful and tells of the glorious good pleasure of God's will in that He chose out for Himself from among those He did not choose out in Jesus Christ. That's the place God chose us to be. Before the foundations of the world. And Paul asks that God, in the 22nd verse of the first chapter, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. And he speaks of the growth of the Christian as he continues living by faith. That is, on the promises of God. He tells us that Christ may dwell in us by faith. Not only that we're in Christ, oh, you can't be in a better place, but that Christ dwells in us, and He does this by faith. And faith is nothing more than grabbing hold of the promises of God and acting on them as though they're more real than anything that we might see or feel or encounter in this life. Paul tells us that in the fourth chapter that God gave some the apostles and some the prophets, and some the evangelists, and some the pastors and teachers. That the saints might be edified till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, Jesus Christ, unto the measure of the stature of Christ. In the fifth and beginning of the sixth chapters, Paul gives not commands, but ideas for orderly living. I don't want to dwell on that. I want to get to the sixth chapter, where Paul says, finally, my brethren, I've been waiting to get to the finally for a long time, and Paul finishes this wonderful letter. He finishes it strong. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm looking at this, and this power of, listen to what Paul is saying. The power, kratos, of his might. This same word is used in the 19th verse of the first chapter, wherein it says, we talked about of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who, to strike out that word believe, it's who faith according to the working of his mighty power. This talks of the ability to accomplish anything. He goes on and he tells us, how do we do this? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What? Who believes in devils? Well, Paul did, and Jesus certainly did, as he confronted Satan himself, or herself, however you want to say it, on the Mount of Temptation. And being tempted, how did Jesus confront Satan? With the Word of God. Not only was he, Jesus, the Word of God, he used and gave us and quoted the Word of God. Against the wiles, against the methods of the devil. Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You know, in one of the many Bibles that I use to study, I have a Bible that is an exact retyping of the 1611 King James first edition of the Bible. And in it, before every chapter, the translators have notes, right? And I found a really curious note in it regarding these verses. Paul says in the 12th verse, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." But, you know, these translators say, we not only wrestle against flesh and blood. Man, that's not the fight. Jesus overcame the flesh when he took upon himself all our sins, all our iniquities. And all the other descriptions of this short fallen condition humanity finds itself. And he says he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He's taking care of flesh and blood. The fight, and this word for we wrestle, this word in the Greek is pali, and it comes out of the Olympic Games where two contestants go at it until one or the other has his hand or his foot upon the neck of the opponent. Do you know the enemy of God wants to put his foot on your neck that he may be able to keep you down? But God says in this wonderful Ephesian letter that we're seated in heavenly places. Think on that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Archos is the word. That's a geographical ruler. That's like a cop or a mayor or, you know, the head of your cable system. Against principalities. Exousios is the word. That's specific. That's, you know, jobs, government, police, teachers, corporations, churches, etc. And they're not put in a positive vein here. Against rulers of the darkness of this world. generals. They come with big guns. World rulers. Who are we talking about? You know, if you read the scriptures, in Daniel's prayer, as he prayed to God, the angel came. It took him 3 weeks to get through. He said he heard his prayer on the first day. But the prince of Persia withstood him, and that Michael, the archangel, had to come and help. And he put down that prince of Persia. That's this Cosmocrators. But he said, watch out, because the prince of Grecia was coming. These, if you look at the history of God's people, from Egypt to the Assyrians, to the Persians, to the Greeks, to the Romans. These are world rulers. Paul calls them rulers of the darkness of this world. What does he say back here in the second chapter? He says, and you, first verse, chapter 2, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in children, in the children of disobedience, in the children that won't be persuaded by the word of God, that won't be persuaded as they don't hear with understanding the word of God, because God didn't choose them out like he chose you. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, against spiritual hosts of evil gathered in the heavenlies. That's who our enemies are, folks. And God says that, and Paul prays that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is, the God has given us the ability to accomplish anything. How? He says, because of this enemy. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear, understand what this government in this country and governments around the world are attempting to do. They are saying, to hell with God. We're God. Take our help and we'll take care of you. I was reading an article the other day about some of the actions that the House of Representatives wants to take up regarding this so-called Equality Act. Now, I'm not here trying to get political. I'm trying to tell you who we're really wrestling against. And the essence was, the hell with God. We're in control. No, God is in control, and they'll find out soon enough. Soon enough. I'm reminded of that wonderful Psalm 37, which we attempt to teach on every year. But the first two verses are wonderful. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." Can you hold that wonderful thought to these evildoers in the government who think they're God? Paul says, "Wherefore, because of this battle, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand." This word, verb, "may be able," is in the middle voice, for your own sake. To withstand in the day of evil. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Jesus said, in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, "Thy word is truth." And having on the breastplate of righteousness, it's not talking about your righteousness, folks. It's talking about that consequence of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that for faith, God gives us his righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ready, always, and willing to make peace, not at any cost, but with the Spirit, that vengeance is God's, not yours. Ready for peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Because our enemy is a wily one, and his methods are crafty. He'll even use our own short-fallen activities to accuse us and to put us down. But God's word says, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery accusations of the devil. If in your mind, your fleshly mind, hears or understands a condition of your shortfallenness, and the devil jumps on your shoulder and say, see, you're not worthy. Tell him, the hell with the devil, I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the life of Jesus Christ, that we may be able to spend eternity with God without spot or wrinkle, being washed by the water of his word. Seventeenth verse says, "And take the helmet of salvation, You know, the word in the Greek, it's just a mistranslation. You know, like the fool's summation of this sixth chapter. We wrestle not only against flesh. No, here, this word being translated take, it means, no, and receive the helmet of salvation. Put in your mind this new mind. That God has given to those whom he has chosen for himself to spend eternity with. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as I told you before, when Jesus was confronted by Satan, he used the Word of God. This is a sword. This is an aggressive weapon. Use it. God likes to hear it. And his response is always, to help, to assist, to enable, to bring about strength and the power of his might. And the last weapon of the armor of God, and it is another weapon, it is an aggressive piece of equipment, praying always with all prayer, praising, if you will, and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. You know, it ain't a cakewalk, folks. We must persevere. We have these promises. And we, through perseverance, through endurance, through faith, shall receive them with all perseverance and supplication. Second time Paul's used that word supplication for all the saints. In humility, folks. In humility. And then Paul gets a little personal and he says, in this praying and supplication in the Spirit, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to the make the known the mystery of the gospel. I ask for your prayers today. He says, for which I am an ambassador. Paul doesn't say, I'm the originator of the gospel. Paul doesn't say, this is my gospel. He says he's an ambassador. An ambassador represents a greater power than himself or herself. They come with the message of the one who sent them. For I am an ambassador in bonds. that therein I may speak boldly as I ought. I don't look at my condition, folks. Boy, I hope you don't look close. I'm still, like you, in this fleshly body. I may not be bound up as Paul probably was at the time of the writing of this letter in Rome in prison. But he didn't allow his earthly circumstance to keep him from declaring the mystery of the gospel, which we, through Paul's words, are attempting to do for you today. He talks about sending his beloved brother. He ends by saying, peace. B is in italics. It's added by the translators. Literally, Paul says, peace to the brethren and love with faith. Listen. Peace, Irene, set together again to the brethren, and love, agapao, this, you know, the English has a lot of words for love. This is the highest form, agapao. And in essence, it is not willing to live without the vessel to whom the love is being expressed. Set together again. And love with faith from God. God is the provider of this gift of faith. Paul tells us in that second chapter of this wonderful letter that by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God with faith from God the Father and our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And he says, he ends it by using that word, amen. You know, I've told you often about this word, amen. The word means firm. Metaphorically, faithful. At the beginning of a discourse, it means surely, truly, of a truth. Listen, now listen. At the end, so it is. So be it. May it be fulfilled. Now, I'm just reading at the moment. We'll get to it. It was a custom which passed over from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies that when he who had read or discoursed had offered up a solemn prayer to God. No, they were, you know, the true domata, the one heading the assembly, was putting forth the word of God, had offered up a solemn prayer to God, and the others responded, amen, and thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. I have uttered the word of God. I hope you say amen. Here's another little commentary. He says, the word amen is a most remarkable word. It was translated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament, then into the Latin and into the English and many other languages, so that it is practically a universal word. It has been called the best known word in human speech. The word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, unfortunately, that's how it was translated, or faithful. Thus, it came to mean sure or truly, an expression of absolute truth, trust, and confidence. Amen. What it means, folks, is no doubt. God said it. He had no doubt. We have Hebrew expressions in the Old Testament of the Amen God. God has no doubt in this human experience. Doubts do come, but we can overcome. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil with the word of God, with the promises of God. He is faithful. Be thou faithful. Let me know you heard this message. And if you don't want to say anything else in the comment section at thegodschool.com, say amen. And that's the God School for today.